Work to Game presents Anthem Free Radio, coming at you live and on YouTube with your hosts Brian, Chemistro, and Nightmare Demon. Adventure with us as we learn more about the world of Anthem.
It's the last Anthem Re Radio.
2018.
This is gonna be a good show.
So we were like beatboxing completely through that entire intro segment. So I do apologize for my gingerness. It is a condition. You know, we are still soul seeking. So that they can infuse a soul into me. Welcome guys to Anthem 3 Radio Episode 6. My name is Brian. Joining me is Chemistral.
Hello.
And Nightmare Demon.
Hello.
6 episodes in, the last episode of 2018, and it is going to be, I think we're going to have a really good show for you guys today. We're talking about pre-orders, we're talking about Legion of Dawn, we're talking about obviously the javelins and the equipment. If you guys are not aware, we are a bi-weekly podcast kind of exploring the relationship between EA and BioWare as they prepare to release Anthem. We are just 9 short weeks away from the release of this game, with pre-orders obviously kicking off with the VIP access at the end of January, and then a open demo. And I love that they're calling it a demo, guys. We're not going into beta territory here. Set for the 1st of February, I believe. And then obviously early access on PC kicks off the 15th. Also on console, but console's a little restricted for the 10 hours. There is a lot. There is so much that to love about this game. But I labeled this episode, Beware the Hype Train. The Hype Train Cometh, because you're going to see a lot of information about this game from top creators from all over. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be in every news feed and everything. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But with that in mind, it is always important to just to make sure that you guys make the right choice and you have the right information. And so that's where the birth of this podcast comes to be. You can find us on the Google Play Store. You can find us on YouTube. And hopefully, if I can get some things fixed, you'll find us soon on iTunes as well. So I want to go in, you know, kind of just as a general thing. Like, this is this has been a real labor of love, something I've really enjoyed hanging out with Chemistral and Nightmare. Guys, Happy New Year. What do we got? You know, as part as like whether your Christmas holiday plans or your New Year's resolutions, like what are your gaming resolutions? What are you thinking, guys, as we go into 2019? how hyped are you? How's the hype meter, you know, falling for this game? All this and more. I want to know what you're thinking. I'm going to toss to Chemistral first. Go ahead, dude.
Well, hype meter for this game is... I want to talk, but I can't. Just that NDA agreement.
It's so many people are breaking the NDA, and it's like, guys, here's what we'll say.
Worth it.
No, don't it's kind of like Fight Club. Like, we don't talk about it. But what we can say, we're not canceling the podcast. I can say this is a smile on my face. You guys make whatever conclusion.
This is genuine.
This is just a genuine smile. You know, go ahead, man.
But yeah, so plans for Anthem. I am, the closer this game gets to release, the more forward I am looking for is all the streams that they've been showing us, the new information we've been getting. You'll see most of that as we continue to go throughout the podcast, but it's games from what they've been showing us, what we're allowed to say, is looking good.
Nightmare, how about you, dude?
Sorry.
You're good.
I missed something. My bad.
No, so we're just like gaming resolutions. What's your hype level for Anthem?
Anthem hype level's pretty high right now. Pretty high at the moment. Pretty stoked for this. Just everything I've seen about it.
Sounds like he's got some reindeer like in his house.
Yeah.
Santa Claus has come early.
pretty stoked for the game. I mean, overall, just everything I've seen, like we got the information for the videos and stuff we've seen here recently for like lore wise and different things. And it's just exciting. I mean, I'm definitely hyped. That's for sure.
The thing that I want to say, because when obviously we started this podcast with kind of the, you know, and I still have trepidation, and it's like, I'm still like, we don't know about the live service. We don't know about kind of the content rollout schedule. And the fact that, you know, PvP isn't in the game at launch is actually, I think, a good thing. But PvP can serve as a really good content filler while you make new content, right? And we're going to talk about kind of the monetization here. That's what they kind of, we have an interview that they were given talking about that they don't want whales and things like that. I think that's important. But I do want to say that one of the things that really makes me excited about this game, the thing that fuels my hype, and because I can't talk about the alpha, so putting the alpha aside, the thing that really fuels my hype about this game is just how awesome BioWare has been in terms of communication, responding to the community, taking the community's feedback, like, hey, how would you like this to work? And then going back and then implementing that, building on that, like, at least if nothing else, not saying that, yes, we'll do that right away, but it's like, that's what we want to get to. And that's where,
developers is amazing.
Oh yeah. I've had more conversations, I felt like, with the developers just indirectly through Reddit, through the Reddit Discord, and things like that, that it just really feels connected. And I hope that continues. And I honestly, I don't see why it wouldn't, because obviously when you're launching a live service game, a game as a service, the goal is that you want to, you know, continue to build on this world. And I have to say, the genius level regarding from a lore perspective with the Shapers and the Shaper relics, like, that level from a lore perspective means they could really introduce anything for any reason. Why does this look the way it does? Well, because the Shaper thing is crazy and it made that. And then, okay, cool. That's great to know. It's like, and Shaper relics. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, in a world without magic, it's like, well, when it's, why is that mouth fly? Magic. It's like, all right, cool. We all accept it. So, with that, that's kind of my hype level is definitely, not the highest it can be. I think we're going to have to wait and see what happens with, the VIP, demo. That's January 25th. And obviously we can talk about it then, because it's going, people will be streaming that, people will be talking about it. You have to get, you have to have access, you have to pre-order to have access to that. And so with that, let's go ahead and dive into the news. We've got a lot to cover here in our hour for the podcast, and I could just sit here and just, like, obviously talk for days and days and days. Nightmare, if you're still with us and not Rango and Kids and Reindeer, Hit us up. What do we got to talk about news-wise? What are the big news stories for the week?
Don't have it all laid out in order, but the first thing I want to talk about is our pre-order information. Mm-hmm. We got the info about it in the last 2 weeks. For the most part, you can pre-order from any major retailer, you know, Amazon, GameStop, Best Buy, etc., EA Origin, or Ultra PC for your digital. And if you pre-order, it gives you, like Ryan said, it gives you VIP access on January 25th, where everyone else who gets earlier access from, you know, EA access or what have you, will be February 1st. So the pre-order gets you like 5-6 more whole days worth of playing before anyone else. So it's worth it, in my opinion. But
the nice thing is that it isn't like something that just completely breaks the game. Like, oh, you get this one weapon, or you get this... What? No, you just get
a little bit. It's a free legendary.
And it's a demo and not a beta. And that's one of the big issues I had with Fallout 76. Is like, okay, if you're saying it's a demo, you're saying it's ready.
Exactly. If you say it's a beta, you're saying it's not ready. So I'm glad they changed it to demo. With the pre-order, whether it's the Legion of Dawn edition or the standard edition, you will get a Founders player banner. Don't know exactly what that may be, but you get a banner. Founders. So that's awesome. And between the two editions, you've got Legion of Dawn edition, which will, of course, give you all your suit, or all your XOs will have Legion of Dawn skins.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-order the standard edition, you will get the Ranger Legion of Dawn skin. So you'll get one if you pre-order regardless. But if you pre-order, get the Legion of Dawn edition, you get all of them.
Are you going to get the Legion of Dawn edition, or are you just going to get the regular?
I'm thinking about it. I'm considering it, because I want the Legion of Dawn skin for the Colossus, and that's what I'm going
to
play.
Well, yeah, then you have to in that regards. Yeah, I don't know. Like, for me, like, I just, you know, like, I'm glad it exists, but I'm not tempted, which is nice. I actually, that feels a little bit more respectful, as opposed to, you're going to get this, you know, XP boost, or you're going to get these other, like, and that kind of ties into the concept that they're not hunting for whales, right? So there was an interview, and so if you guys have not read this, I will include the link in the description below for this. But essentially, BioWare says that Anthem is not going to rely on big spending whales for its success. I'm looking at the outline here, Nightmare, and you kind of pretty much, it looks like you took good chunks of the article. Do you want to expound on that at all for everybody?
With with the article, you know, I read through it and everything. Like, the initial portion was just talking about where it took place.
Mm-hmm.
But BioWare lead producer Mike Gamble was able to talk to Gus Gamasutra.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to.
It works. It. Yeah, you know, it works.
About the transition to live gameplay operations, and shared an interesting detail about BioWare's philosophy towards its loot box free plans for monetization.
Yeah.
Namely, Gamble said that at this time, BioWare doesn't feel the need to target so-called whales as the core part of its plans. A lot of game companies... Hold on.
Okay. All right, well, I'll take over while Nightmare goes and does parent duty. So essentially, they're not focusing it on trying to focus that their whole 100% business model is focused on whales. If you guys don't know what a whale is, especially in the mobile industry, it's where essentially one person or a small group of people pretty much fund the majority or over majority, super majority of the game. So you'd have maybe 99% of people who don't spend a dime, and then you'd have 1% of people who are spending thousands and thousands of dollars on the game itself. And so they're not designing their game for that. Now, we've also heard the same kind of talk from Nintendo. So when Nintendo was releasing their mobile games with Mario Run and all that, they don't want to focus in on, say Pokemon Go. Like, they're not hunting for these whales who are going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. They exist. I'm sure they're going to happily accept as many whales as they get. But they were focusing on, from a cost perspective, and then... So this is kind of the thing that goes here, though, is that with any kind of model that is going to rely on individual spending, as opposed to a subscription fee, or they've already said the DLC is free, all these things that are really positive for the community are there. So monetization-wise, you know, my hope is that there is enough spending going on, that there is a good enough, kind of market so that the game continues to grow and is continued to support it. Because if they don't make any money and it costs the money, eventually the game goes away. And then everybody's like, but it was such a good game. And then it's like, well, nobody spent any kind of money. It sounds like Nightmare is back. It sounds like the kids are doing their thing now.
Yes. Where did you leave off?
I'm talking about like hoping to attract as many people as possible, and then basically correlating it with Nintendo, how they kind of said the same kind of thing, that, you know, they're trying to hunt this for something where it makes sense, I guess, for everybody, whether you have a lot of time or not a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Which, you know, that's what they're trying to attract and everything. And like, a lot of game companies will try to, you know, especially in free-to-play, they'll try to structure it around large spenders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is what they're wanting to avoid. They don't really want to do that. Having whales is great, but we don't cater toward it any particular group, Gamble explained. Some people have more time than others. Some people have less time, and that's just where they leave it. Gamble also made an interesting comment during a group Q&A in response to a question from Mashable's Jess Joho about BioWare's plans for live operations for Anthem. We want to support matchmaking where you don't have to know 6 people on Reddit to play the game. Or Steam or wherever you may be playing.
Yeah.
He said, rather bluntly pointing out that many online RPGs in the vein of Diablo and Destiny have that social barrier that can ever turn away experienced players without the right social group.
It's interesting they mentioned Diablo, though, because is that Diablo does have, I mean, not necessarily it's matchmaking.
It doesn't really have it's got like a... You can search for matches,
yeah.
But some of the higher end content, you have to have, you know, you got to invite people to come play. I don't think you can really. I think originally it was like that. I think they may have changed it over time. I haven't played in a while, but I know originally, like, some of the higher end stuff, you might have to, like, the matchmaking wasn't that great if you was gonna go do like see how far you could push through like greater rifts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd have like a random person jump in and. Like, either A, they just can't help, or B, they have hacked the game and have brought it. Don't want to ruin the experience.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be interesting because, like, there's a two-way street with when you're talking about any kind of matchmaking, right? Because it's that either you have to design the content that people who could get matched together can clear it, or you have to not have matchmaking and people have to preform. But the fact that they're supporting matchmaking, I think, will be a good thing at first. The question is that do we, like, it will that then lead to the complaint saying that Anthem is too easy? And with, I think they've shown off 6 difficulty tiers, they've talked about like up to 6 difficulty tiers. So hopefully that, and they've talked about the Diablo kind of torment system before.
I want to say that with the way they're doing this, like with the matchmaking, the whole not being able to trade gear may limit people not really being able to play, getting into the harder content because their buddies gave them gear, so now they're a higher gear level. So I'm assuming the matchmaking will be kind of like Destiny, where the harder content will have the gear level limitations.
I wonder. We'll have to wait and see, because they also talked about scaling, where like we can all play together. And even the fact, let's say Chemistral started a week late, he could come play with us, and it's just going to warn him that there's, like, hey, you're going to have some story stuff maybe spoiled for you. And things like that. So we'll have to wait. And I mean, all of that is more wait and see. But regarding the content in the DLC, Zoe asked a really cool question talking about, will the Anthem story DLC have chapters like Mass Effect and Dragon Age? And honestly, we assume maybe in that regards, because literally we don't know how like the story is going to be structured. But we do know it is going to be free to going forward. So you're never going to end up feeling like you have to spend money. That's why I assume to unlock the next chapter of the story. What I don't know if they're going to end up doing is where the story has a conclusion and then every story DLC is just side story stuff before the next major, which we would assume expansion if they decide to support that kind of almost Guild Wars 2, expansion-esque model, in that regards. Chemistral, you've been quiet. What are your thoughts?
As far as the story thing, I think it could take more along the lanes of, as you said, Guild Wars 2 and the Final Fantasy 14, where you finish the expansion, but you still have actual parts like your next prelude in the chapters leading up to the next expansion. And since that part's going to be free, it gives people who are keep playing and who are keep engaging in the story something to look forward to, mm-hmm. in addition to the features that, say, people who aren't as interested in the story, like myself, will just usually come and wait for the expansion to come in.
It'll be neat to see.
You're rewarded to continue playing, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah. I like that they're not going to have the community segregated, because it ends up making us all feel like if we're actively engaged with the story, whether it is chapter-based, whether it does continue, or if it's more side story-based between, I guess, bigger story drops, it's going to be really cool to see how that plays out, because it ends up being like we're all taking part in this Netflix series. We're all taking part of this story, so we can have that continual discussion and nobody's going to feel left out because, they like, oh, sorry, I haven't got paid this week. I'll have to get the DLC next. I have to wait next week to kind of have that dropped on us. All right. So with that, we talked about the whales concept, the story concept. We are the descendants of the Legion of Dawn. Yes. So
This is the new thing that they just released like a few days ago. 5 days ago now, actually.
Yeah, really cool trailer. Obviously advertising awesome, the selling awesome of the Legion trailer. Of Dawn edition.
This is basically kind of like a lore little section that I took from there just because it's just really good. Basically, it states that we, as Brian said, are descendants of the Legion of Dawn. And it goes on to kind of tell a story with the video, and I'm sure we'll leave a link to that page in the description. Our world is a violent and cruel place. For centuries, we lived at its mercy, unable to rise above the violent chaos that shook our land and mutated the creatures around us. We would be suffering still if not for the Legion of Dawn. Under the eye of General Helena Tarsis, they built the first javelins, protected us from the chaos, and created a new future for all those who came after. Their story, her story, is what makes ours possible.
Yes, and so the trailer breaks it down. She's got a 4-man squad. You see the like kind of what the precursor to the Colossus, the precursor to essentially what we have today. And then so there's lots of legends and myths that they kind of wrap around this. Chemistral, do you want to take the next section?
For
the first javelins?
Yes. I'm sorry. First, I thought you were talking about equipping javelins.
No, not yet. Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay. Well, as I said, for the first javelins, every day was a battle for survival. They had few resources to make better lives for themselves and even less time. But General Tarsis and those who followed her saw a different way forward. One of her followers was Arden Vasa, an inventor and a genius in his time. He built the Javelin of Dawn, a forebear to the Colossus, and created one for each of General Tarsus' disciples. With these powerful tools at their disposal, General Tarsus led the Legion of Dawn to victory against the forces of our raging world, finally giving us a chance to live in peace.
And then I'll take the last segment. General Tarsus left the world long ago, she still leads us through her legends, stories of valor, might, and resolve that teach us how to live. It is said that she scaled a mountain to defeat a massive beast at its peak to protect the people below. The freelancers now fight to protect all of humanity, holding its story close to their hearts. The sentinels, hold the walls of Fort Tarsus, tell of the valiant stand where she and her lancers protected a village in the path of disaster. It is believed that some artifacts from her life remain in the Fortress of Dawn. But the fortress has stood firm through the centuries, sealed against all who try to open it. So, for our lifetimes, the legend must suffice. Now the new threat is rising, and as great as the dangers General Tarsus faced, you, Freelancer, must follow in her footsteps. Do, and you will become as legendary as the Legion before.
See, that little tidbit about Fortress of Dawn kind of makes me wonder if they're going to make a raid style thing where we have to actually go into the fortress and get like her suit.
I feel like that'd be like part of like the last big like story event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And the question are they going to have this roll this out typical MMO fashion where like, okay, you do the story and then, a couple of weeks, oh, by the way, here's this now. And then a couple of weeks, oh, here's the hard mode. Oh, you know, just so that you have that. Like, for me, one of the things. The continuous feed of content. Things to continue, like, to strive for. Oh, we've now added a new difficulty. So you're absolutely right. This does give that aura of, like, oh my gosh, there's a raid coming. And things like that. And they haven't really talked about it. And I hope to goodness, yes, that would be so cool. Strongholds are the four-man content. It would be neat to see if it was, they introduced any kind of content that required more. Coordination.
I'm doing really well for this.
A-Man could work really well for this in that regards. Okay, so as far as it goes, though, and this, I think, really sets a cool stage.
I say an Anthem Final Fantasy 14 crossover.
You never know, man.
we did
confirmed. Confirmed. We'll just confirm it here. That's what we do.
Machinist is getting buffed.
Machinist is getting buffed. Like, get that freaking javelin, gun. Oh, man. Let's see here.
Classes in 14's got a javelin. That's right. That's the whole class.
Oh, dude. Freaking yes.
Actually, a javelin like the shape of a dragon would be pretty.
There you go.
That would be so freaking cool. All right, so we digress. Our big segment, obviously, is they showed off power. They showed off gear. They showed off progression. They showed off your gear score. equipping your javelin, Chemistrel, why don't you share and break down the information for people who don't know? How do you get more powerful in Anthem?
Sure thing. So aside from equipping different guns and whatnot you'll pick up, you'll also have different stuff to equip for your javelin, such as armor, support abilities, and different things called components, which they showed to us in the last trailer. The last stream. So components are essentially like trait lines. You can think of that from a different term in any MMO sense, where you have up to 6 slots for each javelin, and those slots you can put different little components in that'll increase abilities, such as increased cooldowns, or maybe helping you get a better ammo type of a certain weapon, or different odds and ends. You synergize them well, you can actually have a whole build focused around it. They showcased that in the stream where they had a guy focusing where every time he was hovering, his grenade cooldown was significantly lowered. And so just all the different crazy things you could do with it, I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh my gosh, significantly. Like just hover in the air and just be tossing grenade after grenade. And then you get multiple kills and then that resets something else. I was just like, man, just the amount of depth that feels like we should be able to actually pull into.
And here's like the icing builds on the cake for that.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead. Cause it's personally like, this speaks out to me a lot. Cause I love theory crafting. It's one of the reasons why Guild Wars 2 is like my go-to game of choice right now. And for us who love like going head to head and like crunching all these different numbers and everything, it's awesome. But if you're not a fan of that, the devs did say that you can go through this without having to, bash your head against the wall against this. You can casually just kind of pick up and play and go, and you'll still do fine. So it's
there's like a
for those who want it, and if you don't want it, you're not going to be punished for not doing it.
Well, I honestly see as you're leveling and things like that, that it's just like, oh, here's a better piece. But once you hit that cap, and they keep talking about level 20, even though I know there's been screenshots that talk about level that show off like level 30, but they have like the gear power score, etc. So it was like, okay, you're constantly seeking that power, and then in my mind, then once you're at cap, then it's about finding the piece of gear. And then so they have these basically traits. They were called inscriptions. And like the more rare the gear, the more like up to 4 inscriptions it could have. And then those are random out of 100 different possibilities. Oh. It was just, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, the theory crafting is going to be not like, like I want to build an AOE machine, or I want to build like a single target precision damage.
In other words, you could literally have somebody with all 4 like storms, and each one like plays completely different.
Completely different.
Build diversity, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah, and so
because you know there's going to be groups that's going to have like pretty much like all 4 of you have the same javelin, so obviously they would be built differently to compensate.
Right. Not to mention you can also combo off each other's moves. You guys can remember that. So if you imagine those inscriptions
that's a theory from Mass Effect, mm-hmm. like combo abilities and guns and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they've been doing that way back since Guild Wars 2 in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, Guild Wars 2 is a great game. We always should bring it up because they do a lot of good things. And they have a buy to play model, and that's what it sounds like Anthem is as well.
Hopefully it's just as successful, if not more.
Yeah.
But there is one downside when it comes to the instructions, is that so far, just from how the game is being developed as it is, we're not going to be able to re-roll them. They have, the community has kind of brought this up and talked about it, and the developers did say like they're going to look and see how the community feedback is when the game launches. So they may go back and let us kind of re-roll on some of the stats. So say you get something that's missing 1 or 2 core things, you may be able to re-roll one of them. Think of it like enchanting if you ever played Diablo 3. So you're not going to be able to do that at launch, but who knows? Maybe in the future they'll.
Maybe in the future. Well, that's what they say, that like you can craft, and then you can also get the drops, and that's the two ways in which that you can acquire the gear. So if you're not getting the piece that you want, you can go and ideally have the blueprint. Which I'm wondering if blueprints are a drop, or if they, you know, like anyway, we'll have to wait and see how that the blueprints play out. But as far as it goes, it's going to be either about a craft in it, or it's going to be getting the drops, and there's no reroll.
Or even challenges, actually. So if you're up for like achievements, doing different things, or mm-hmm. different hard mode, there you go.
So
or you can do like exploring and stuff, and maybe earn like some kind of like point system or something that allow you to like, maybe there's a merchant that has like blueprints that, you know, so many points gets you this blueprint, etc. And then you can craft it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's lots of ways they could do it. It'd be kind of cool.
Oh yeah.
Lots of ways. Multiple ways to acquire gear, like we said. But what's this no unique loot?
Oh, so this is interesting. So Reddit user Glimmertron actually asked a question about to the devs during the stream. And his question was, do bosses drop unique loot? Like if I did a stronghold and killed one of those giant gorilla looking things, could I get, say, I don't know, a crazy quad barrel shotgun unique to that boss? Unfortunately, by the developer Derek, as he responded back, Ben answered on the stream today that no, bosses will not have unique loot like a quad barrel shotgun, which personally, I'm not a big fan of it, but hey, you know, it's the games. I'll let it slide.
That was like one of the things I enjoyed about like the Borderlands games. Like there were certain bosses mm-hmm. that dropped certain weapons that were specific to them. You couldn't get them anywhere else. It was specific from them. Gave you a reason to go fight that specific boss.
They have, however, talked about like when we were talking about challenges and stuff about the cosmetics. Is that you might see that take place where it's not required. Like that's where it's like from a gear perspective, from a gun perspective, if there's a shotgun that's a quad barreled shotgun and it's like, oh man, this ends up being the meta. You want to have this gun and you got to go farm this one specific content. It's where that content can kind of run stale, right? As opposed to that quad barrel shotgun could drop from any content you're running and it's just a matter, or you can craft it. So I don't mind the cosmetics. Like I think they even said like, yeah, you can go and, we're going to have cosmetics on the hardest, like different things. So they, it kind of shows your achievement of, you know, of
like
that.
If you're rocking this specific looking cosmetic.
But hey, from a progression perspective, like I get it. Like sometimes it's cool to say like, but that's where I think it sounds like they're going to have it, but not in a way that's going to make it require that like, oh man, guys, I can't come play this tonight because I got to go run this stronghold and hope that I get that kind of drop.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, as opposed to that, well, you could come run this content with us and you still might get that drop, you know, from a progression gun perspective.
And see, that would be a really cool system. I'd love to see that happen. The one thing I would just hate to see happen the most is if, say, you know, they introduce a really cool boss, and this game is really well designed, so they could have some, you know, really amazing looking loot and weapons.
Yeah.
And so see it and you're like, oh, I want to get that, but there's never a drop of that anywhere in the game. Just as reference, if you remember Nero's hammer from the Praetorium in Final Fantasy 14,
yeah,
I want, like, it looks like a hammer slash gun thing, essentially. I want that as a skin for my warrior, but yeah, I can't equip that. Oh, and so yeah, I just hate to see something so designed never get any use.
Yeah. Oh, man, I would love to see, yeah, that, what you're talking about. I know specifically what you're talking about with Nero. That would be, that'd
speaking,
be sick.
Speaking of hammers, I would like to see that as a, like, the Colossus gets like a giant melee hammer that he can use like as drops, like give you melee weapons for primaries. I'd love to see
that. That'd be fun.
So tomorrow,
like, give me actual melee weapons, like, yeah, I'm the Colossus and I can just jump in with this giant hammer and just like start smashing things.
Yeah,
just because.
So tomorrow is going to be interesting because tomorrow three, like we said at the in the pre-show, they have a live stream where they're going to be showing off a stronghold, where they're going to be showing off, obviously, the Interceptor, finally. Yes. Out of all the Javelins, we have not really seen that from a first-person perspective. We've seen them running around. And so as it relates to melee and things like that, you know, it'll be neat to see if we get a true, if you can build a true melee, like you said, with hammers or swords or, you know, what have you in that regards. But what do you guys want to see from the Stronghold? Because one of the conversations that I saw that was kind of going on in the Reddit Discord about that is they some people are feeling that the game might be unfairly punishing to those who want to play the game solo. And as it relates to it, they've said that you're not going to run Stronghold solo. Like it's Strongholds is a four-man activity. It's built for that. But as far as it goes, beyond,
I'm sure they'll have like some kind of thing that's, you know, built geared more towards like, hey, you want to go do in-game content solo? They'll probably have something that's geared more towards the solo people,
mm-hmm,
and the Strongholds is more for, hey, this is group content, and then we have solo content over here.
Well, even it's they've even said that like you can go solo, but it's going to be hard. Like going solo in and of itself would be something that is equivalent to like an additional scale of difficulty. That it can be done, but it's not, you
like
know,
a hard mode.
Yeah, and so, but anyway, like beyond that, because it, I think that the conversations, that it's an interesting thing, because if you want to play this game, that seems like the optimal experience is to have, and that's why they're focusing on matchmaking, like we said at the top of the show. But you know, when it comes down to it, like you know, what level of difficulty, like what is the right, you know, level of frustration? How many times should you fail the Stronghold, so to say? Like, what do you want? I guess all this and more is running ping pong in my head.
Just gonna say, Dark Souls was brutally hard, and people played the crap out of it, and it sold a lot. So,
do you want Strongholds to be Dark Souls levels, or well, you know, like, it should there be at least the option with, for that okay, difficulty?
There's hard, and then there's hard in the sense that you got to learn from your mistakes in order to progress, kind of thing.
Okay,
so that's just like it, like Ultimate in 14, like if you're going to do it, you're going to have to progress through it, like learn how the mechanics are working, and as you learn them, you progress further through it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same concept with Dark Souls. Like, you start out, you have no idea what you're doing, you start learning things as you go. It's hard at first, but then as you progress through it, you're learning more, and then, you know, it becomes easier to do.
So, question to you, Chemistral, like, should there be a Dark Souls level of difficulty option within, like, for Strongholds, or
personally
a one-hit kill option?
Personally, I, as much as I'm not a fan of the Dark Souls type games, but I do appreciate their difficulty, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
I played Solid Snake, so I kind of played some level of Dark Souls-ish difficulty, just not the actual Dark Souls. But it is nice to be able to have like that ridiculous challenge as a juxtaposition to the, well, the stomp fest that normal PvE is going to be, since this is a looter shooter.
Well, so I mean, they showed off a lot of power. Like,
oh yeah,
it's like it seemed almost insane. But then at the same time, you know, how does that scale to it? So is there, you know, we want to feel powerful, but at the same time, you know, we don't want to we do want to run into content that can challenge that power, right?
Yeah, like, I like to see like the extremes. Like, you want to have, of course, you want to have that nice balance, but I want there to be an extreme. Once, like, if you want to stomp through, like, it's Dynasty Warriors, go for it. If you want a Dark Souls type challenge, go for that too.
Yeah, that's where
give us the option.
Yeah, that's where it's like, and then I'm wondering how that's going to, how that will play into matchmaking. Like, is it something that you vote on the difficulty? Is it something that you preset? Like, I want to run this Stronghold at this, you know, at this difficulty level. Because at some point, like, if you can actually get so powerful, you maybe beyond mechanics, there would be a way of saying, like, okay, you can go run that Stronghold, but at the lowest difficulty level, and you can, you know, try to do it, you know, solo and see, you know, and that there could be see solo challenges and things of that nature. All in all, I think it's gonna be interesting. I think when it relates to what we're talking about with the Legion of Dawn, with how this world is so cruel and unforgiving and unmerciful, and the javelins give us a chance. They don't seem to solve the problem. If the trailers they've shown from the Game Awards and with the Legion of Dawn, you know, kind of trailer are an indication. It seems like we're going to be in for a heck of a fight.
A fight.
And so, yeah, they like, oh my gosh. Like, so that is, I mean, that's pretty much the news and that's the breakdown of everything that they've shown off. So far, tomorrow, like I said, they're showing off a Stronghold. Tomorrow, they're showing off the Interceptor for their last live stream of 2018. But then they're going to be coming back, you know, I would assume, probably at the same time in January. And then we're going to see probably about 2 weeks worth of just insane content up to the VIP demo. Obviously, like the bummer that they're showing off the Interceptor tomorrow, because it's that one of the things, the question is that, does that change? Like, do we all see the Interceptor and we're like, yep, that's the one for us? Because after obviously seeing after seeing the Storm, that's where I was like, yep, that seems what that's the one I'm looking forward to rocking. Still Colossus? Chemistry, you're still thinking maybe Interceptor or?
Yep, I've seen some somewhat supportive abilities with the use of auras from their combos, but so that seems to be the one I'll be going for.
Okay, great. So, I mean, that's all we've got as a part of our outline for the show. Chemistry, do you have any additional thoughts, any concerns? We're, you know, like I said, 9 weeks away from this game. You're picking it up on, we're all picking it up on PC, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then, and so obviously that officially starts on February the 15th. The, are you, I don't know if you can answer this. Did you play controller or keyboard for the alpha?
I played keyboard and mouse.
Oh, okay. I went controller. So it was, I really appreciated how that felt. Okay, Nightmare, do you got any final thoughts? Any other things, any hopes, concerns that you want to share?
I think we pretty much covered it all. Just super excited for the most part. Gonna be going thick, boy, all the way, regardless.
Yeah,
gonna be using that cannon. That's what I'm waiting for.
Looks sick, dude. That cannon looks real sick.
I just want to drop nukes on people.
Like I said, we'll see if you can get the skill, because it's like they said, like you can maybe get three off if you get the timing right.
Like be like trying to time my Phil Cleaves on Warrior. Just yeah,
come exactly. Got to work on those times. Got to blow it up.
And then just put all those you know, just put it in your passive, so you just have more and more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Killer everywhere. All right, so with that, Chemistry, what can they find you?
You can find me at Chemistry on YouTube. Currently, I've been kind of looking at some retrospectives and kind of inspired to create my own. I'll leave you with the teaser for that. Nightmare?
For me, you can find me at Nightmare Demon Gaming on YouTube and same name on Twitch. And after New Year's, I'm going to be reevaluating exactly what I'm doing with the YouTube channel. So stay tuned. We might have something interesting coming soon.
And so, guys, for episode 6 for Anthem Free Radio, my name is Brian. You can find us over at Work to Game on YouTube. You can follow us on Twitch. And if you're watching us live here, this is where we're at. We've got this will be the last episode for 2018. We'll be coming back strong in 2019, breaking down the news and covering the game up and through launch. As we prepare for the release of this game, we're all very hopeful that it succeeds. There is definitely a movement, within gaming culture to boycott the game because it's associated with EA. And for those of people who feel that way, like I definitely support them and their boycott. Like it's like you got to do what you got to do if you feel like that's the right approach for you. I don't share that opinion. I think I'm hoping that BioWare is they are able to deliver the best game and have the most success. I always want every game that comes out, I want to see it win. I want to see it succeed because there's families, there's people who pour a lot of time and effort trying to make these things happen. And even if, I don't like no judgment for anybody who feels like they can't support the game because of who's publishing it. Then, you know, you got to do what you got to do in that regards. But all I ask is to be smart, to have an open mind, and don't let hype drive you into something that ends up being, you know, like, don't let yourself, if you're resolved to wait, if you're resolved to pre-order and check it out, pre-order. Don't forget there is a an open demo that's going to happen in the beginning of February for you guys to see. And then we'll be covering the game. So if you guys want to know anything about it, let us know in the comments of this video. Or, like, I guess you can always message us as well. We hope you guys have a fantastic holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays from Work to Game from Anthem Free Radio. Hopefully you have lots of fun things to play over these next couple weeks. And we will see you in 2019. You guys want to say adios?
Adios, amigos. Happy holidays and a happy new year.
Hope all of y'all have a fantastic Christmas and a happy new year. And see y'all in 2019.
Oh, hello. Were you expecting somebody? Chuck-like? Well, I'll never tell where he is. Only that if you want to see your friend again, you should totally hit subscribe. And maybe even a thumbs up. Thumbs down don't make me happy. And when I'm not happy, something happens to Chuck. I'm not joking. Goodbye. Subscribe. I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. See you next time.